The Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder, is there any hope that America might turn back to God? Difficult to say, my friend. Difficult to say. Right now, our nation seems to be a 50-50 split in its view of law and morality, on the verge of a civil war. When I think of the idiotic words spoken by public officials voted into office, or celebrities who think they are important enough to have been voted into office, I must confess I do not see a lot of hope. I haven't given up. I will continue praying, I will continue speaking out, but I don't see a lot of hope. In that vein, a word to the wise for Miley Cyrus. Nobody cares whether you have kids or not. And hearing about it doesn't make us view you as an expert on climate change or anything else. You see, the left has quick and easy talking points to shut people up. They have defenseless ideas. Ideas incapable of winning any debate in which the audience has even one brain amongst them, so they instead shut down debate by resorting to cliches. If you want to talk about strangling business, they shut you down with the words climate change, code for regulation. If you talk about immigration, they shut you down with the word racism, as if people can't be concerned about our borders without it having anything to do with skin color. Here is a statement Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi gave last week about President Trump wanting a question about citizenship on the 2020 census.
This is about keeping, you know, his hat, make America white again.
What a thoughtless, irresponsible statement. She knows better. She knows Trump is not a racist. Nobody ever called him that before he became a Republican. She knows he's only a political threat. She knows, and she's lying through her teeth. Our Speaker of the House, third in line for the presidency. Doesn't she do us proud? This is the woman who a couple of weeks ago made a request of President Trump. She asked for time to fix some of her immigration laws in exchange for postponing mass deportations of people. People who supposedly are not even the asylum seekers Democrats claim to be concerned about. Inasmuch as these are people whose cases were already heard, who have been ordered by judges to return home, and who have simply refused to do so. So what was she asking him to do? Stop enforcing the law? Why they write new laws that would have been unrelated to these particular cases anyway? And of course, they never did fix the law anyway. But it gets better. Now she's giving advice to illegal immigrants who are ignoring the ruling of judges. Advice on how to continue breaking the law by failing to cooperate when ICE comes to their door. Hillary Clinton is doing the exact same thing. The woman who might have been our president. And the Speaker of the House, who is two people away from the presidency, showing nothing but contempt for our laws. This is about as low a time in our country's history as we have ever come. But sometimes there's a strange twist of justice, even amongst the Democrats, pouring fuel on the fire of an ongoing little tiff. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said the following about Nancy Pelosi last week.
But the persistent singling out, it got to a point where it was just outright disrespectful. The explicit singling out of newly elected women of color.
Now, that is ludicrous. We even have prominent Democrats coming out and calling it ludicrous. Of course, none of those Democrats had any problem when during the same week Pelosi called Trump a racist. And now guess who's defending Pelosi? Donald Trump. You can't make this stuff up. I'll tell you something about Nancy Pelosi that you know better than I do. She's not a racist, okay?
She's not a racist. For them to call her a racist is a disgrace. Wow. So when do you think Nancy will thank Donald Trump? Oh, that's right. She won't. She probably views his endorsement as a death certificate. But however she views it, she did not deserve it. He has shown her far more class and far more grace than she has ever shown him. And while I believe Cortez is nothing but a walking, talking, single brain-celled celebrity wannabe, and while I myself do not view Pelosi as a racist either, she had this coming, just as Biden had it coming when Kamala Harris misrepresented him not long after he misrepresented Trump. Of course, Cortez probably didn't think she was going to get so much blowback on this. She thought she would get away with it. Why not? They've been letting her get away with everything else. When asked by some reporters if she thinks Pelosi is a racist, she said, absolutely not. Oh, well, that clears it up. She doesn't view Pelosi as a racist. No, not at all. She just views her as one who singles out congresswomen of color. See the difference? Of course, Cortez isn't the only freshman congresswoman with a big mouth. There are four in the mod squad, including Ilhan Omar. So now we're expected to listen to self-righteous, sanctimonious lectures from Representative Ilhan Omar, who claims America is an unjust and immoral country. Just imagine someone from her country of Somalia saying something like that back home. According to a UN report, such criticism can be met with killings, beatings, harassment, arbitrary arrest, and illegal detention, lack of due process or fair trial, and the closure of media outlets. Let's be clear. The only reason this woman gets away with publicly expressing her contempt for America is because America is the greatest country in the world, free from the tyrannical suppression of free speech which characterizes her home country. That is, free unless the Democrats, with their hate speech laws, code for overturning the First Amendment, ever return to complete power. In any event, let me go on record regarding Ilhan Omar. I am simply uninterested in what this egotistical, narcissistic, arrogant, ignorant, racist twit has to say. Her words mean nothing to me, aside from an observation that she represents a disgraceful time in our country's history. It is utterly disgusting that she could ever have been voted into office as a United States Congresswoman. To those in her district who elected her, have you no shame? Or are you just that stupid? Well, time to take a refreshing break from stupidity. And who better to lead the way than that very smart contributor for National Review, Mike Friedenberg?
Well, Bob, thanks for having me on again. It's quite a pleasure and honor here to be on your show tonight. I will mention also that the Black Caucus has come out in defense of Nancy Pelosi as well. So,
yeah. Cortez wasn't expecting that.
Yeah. So regardless, I will, and this is maybe a little bit of a nuance, I will say that I actually believe that most Democrats, and certainly virtually every leftist, is racist. If all you spend is your time breaking everybody down and looking at people in terms of their race, their gender, their color, and that's how you see the world, and that's how you want to define everything, I think by definition you are a racist.
Well, they're definitely race baiters and race dividers, at least. Well, yeah.
I would call them racists, but it's not the common definition you hear for racist.
Right.
So there's different kinds of racism. So what I wanted to talk tonight about is, we're inundated with polls. There's a new one come out every day, and we're going to be seeing more and more polls as we get closer and closer to the election. And as conservative Republicans, mainly conservatives, not so much Republicans, we rightfully distrust the polls. But I wanted to talk a little bit about it because I don't think we could completely disregard them. And I wanted to talk about a way to evaluate polls and to look at them. First of all, can we completely disregard them? I don't think we can completely disregard them. That doesn't mean I believe that they're always accurate, but I think disregarding them would also be just throwing out a little bit of the baby with the bathwater. I mean, there's all sorts
because
of polls.
Because even a poll that's not very accurate might give us an indication of something.
It might. Yeah. And then there's some common misconceptions about how polls work, and we're going to talk about that a little bit here. But one of the reasons I do think it's good to look at polls is just to provide a little bit of context here is, You watch Fox News. I watch Fox News. You read other things other than, you know, C-SPAN or CNN or The Post or The New York Times. You read more balanced, more fair journalism. But unfortunately, a lot of people in this country, their news does not come from more objective sources. Certainly, they don't look for conservative alternative sources. They get their news from the mainstream media. And here's a breakdown on the mainstream media. For primetime news, give you an example, ABC News averages 9.3 million viewers per night. NBC News averages 8.7 million viewers per night. PBS NewsHour, 1.2 million. CBS News, 6.6 million. CNN, 1 million. MSNBC, 1.9 million. And Fox News, 2.4 million. So if I add that up, what I would call the left-stream media, some people call it the mainstream media, but I call it the left-stream media, 28.7 million per night versus 2.4 million per night for prime time for Fox News. So Fox News, at least in the prime time, is running just about 7%, 7.7% of what people are saying.
Now, let me ask you, does talk radio and the internet make up for any of that?
Now that's true. I think that, yes, you have to throw those things in there. Talk radio, which, once again,
is primarily conservative.
It is dominated by conservative. But a lot of the people that watch Fox News are also the same people
listening to
Fox.
Talk radio. Yeah, that's true. So we're dealing with the same people.
So you have people that are what I call the high knowledge, high information voters. And you have people like that on both the left and the right. Okay? Then you've got people in the middle. And yeah, the people that are watching Fox and making their way through are high information people. There's even high information people on the left. Their information is wrong, but they are paying attention. They pay attention to things that confirm their worldview. But they can tell you what's happening in the news. They can tell you what, you know, who's
they
up
may
for
have
them.
A bad interpretation,
they
may have,
but they'll know what's going on in the news.
The politicians
right?
are.
So you have these what I call casual news consumers. These are the people that may flip on the news while dinner's on. Hear a little background. So if you have the news in the background and it's ABC News, what are you hearing? Are you hearing both sides of the story? Probably not. So there's this section in the middle of people that get most of their news. They're not going out of the way to get news and alternative viewpoints. They're getting the news from the primetime media, the mainstream media. Beyond that, they watch late night TV. And they get some of the news from there. There's a lot of people that actually know what's going on because Late Night News is talking about.
Some people, The Daily Show, that's it for them.
Right.
News.
So if you add up all these people there, these what I would call low information potential voters, and I do consider them low information, they sit sort of in the middle here. And that's one of the reasons you see tremendous variability in the polls. They hear one thing, and since they're not really sure what's going on, they show up as high variability in the polling. So that's why you can have, you know, Trump, you know, when you're looking at the election cycle, one of the reasons you might see Trump, you know, down by 8 points one week in one poll, and then a week later he's down 15 points, is because these people are just really sort of blow with the wind. Now, these voters are the voters we have to get a certain percentage to win, and we're going to talk about some polling on these folks.
Okay, we'll be right back. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
People are enjoying Bob Siegel's time travel novel, Push the Winds Around. Check out these customer reviews on Amazon.com. This is one of those books, like certain movies, where you keep thinking about it long after you finished. Once I picked it up, I didn't want to put it down until I'd read the entire book. Literally, a page-turner. Every character came to life. Their personalities were well-defined and consistent. First thing I did after I finished the book was to ask about the sequel. The next customer said, "I read this book cover to cover in one sitting. Great read with completely unexpected ending that left me wishing there was just one more chapter. Give yourself a couple of hours to read it all at once because you won't want to put it down." Push the Winds Around, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to 96.1 FM, 1170 AM. The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel, joined today with contributor for National Review, Mike Friedenberg.
So the point of talking about this big group of voters in the middle that they're really not paying that much. It's hard as it is for you and I to believe, and for many listeners of the show to believe, is they're not paying close attention to what's really happening.
Oh, well, I believe that when I hear them talk. They're not paying a lot of attention to anything.
But what they do hear from the casual tuning into primetime news or late night TV is certainly not a positive for President Trump.
Trump is a racist. We should open the borders, blah, blah, blah.
So when you do the polling and you see these polls that show Trump, you know, getting 40%, 38%, 42%.
You're thinking that's probably a valid reflection of how
that
they're listening
be,
to
that
the
may,
news.
On the other hand, I mean, that's not completely divorced from reality. Let's put it that way. I'm not sure. I still think that those polls may be underrepresenting Trump's support. But the fact is that there's a consistent – listen, with how Trump has been performing in terms of the economy, his foreign policy, his actually doing things to help the country, he should be in the 50s. Easily in the 50s, even with a...
Oh, I think he should be higher than that.
Well, yeah, but regardless, in the mid-50s, he's not, and that is because of the constant savaging he's been receiving from the mainstream media, from late-night TV. I mean, you know, there's a show that some people I know that watch that liked Madam Secretary. Basically, they have now episodes about global warming and about how lack of paying attention to it has devastated people in the world. They're dying because of it.
And don't tell me the program takes a pro-choice position. Don't tell me. I've never seen it before. I'm just going to...
A global warming? I don't know about that.
Pro-choice position on abortion.
I mean, probably so, but...
We could just go down the list.
I wouldn't even know enough to say it, but I'm going to guess because it's definitely the people in charge of the show are liberal and they're portrayed as liberals. But now they basically are saying the United States is owing the rest of the world billions and billions of dollars of compensation because we are one of the people that didn't follow through on trying to stop global warming.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm just saying, but that's the environment in which President Trump has to try to operate, right? So as we get closer now, the positives are, though, is that all these dire predictions. I mean, there was people predicting, and I couldn't understand how they predicted this, that the stock market would crash when Trump was elected because all his pro-business policies, his international business experience would somehow cause the crash. Now, they were proven wrong. So the people that saw that know that. The people know that, for example, that we're not...
Well, now they just say it's doing well because of Obama.
Yeah, but a lot of people... He is starting to finally get some credit for the economy from polling. You know, people are beginning to realize that. We haven't gotten a nuclear war with North Korea. All these dire predictions are not coming true. So even the people that are sitting in the middle kind of know... There is a reality out there that does get through to them, even despite of what they're watching, in spite of what they're hearing. So this is a group of people that will start to pay more attention as we get close to election. And the good news is that when they start to pay attention, the Republicans and Donald Trump will have money, paid media, to get out in front of them and show them that things maybe to contest the worldview that the left has been pushing on them. So that's a plus. So I would say that right now, we should look at the environment and say it should only get better as we get closer to the election because at that point in time, though, there'll be really people start to pay attention and we will have a chance to fight back. So with that said, but there is I wouldn't completely ignore them. I mean, if we see a mass increase in polling across the board, across all the various polls, that's probably good. And we have seen an uptick in the polling for Donald Trump. So that's good.
It is good.
Now, with that said, you also see some things that make you think that there is some methodology that is questionable. For example, when we see like USA Today, Suffolk poll come out with Donald Trump, 49% approval, 48% disapproval. And then a couple days earlier, a poll by Reuters, Ipsos, showing Donald Trump at minus 17. If this is all supposed to be scientific and this is just,
how scientific can it be with a disparity like that?
And we're going to discuss why you can get this tremendous variability here in the case there. Now, one of the things I do want to address before we go any further is oftentimes I will read in Facebook and other blogs people complaining about oversampling. Well, clearly the polls are wrong because they oversampled the Democrats. That is not true.
Well, they do. Some of them do, don't they?
No, they do oversample the Democrats, but that has nothing to do with the accuracy of the poll.
Okay, so they do it, but you don't think it's having the big impact.
The fact of the matter is that once you get regardless, there's a fact that's known in statistics that once you get to a population that's considered to be what's called an infinite population, that sampling without replacement doesn't really matter. That's the term there, is that about 384 people, you can take 348 people, as long as they're chosen properly, randomly, and they are representative of the population, you could sample all of the United States, 200-something million people, and come out with a poll accuracy, theoretically, that would be 95% confidence, plus or minus 5%. Plus or minus 5%. And it doesn't matter whether that accuracy, that's going to change whether it's 100 million people, 20 million people, 100,000.
How do you account for the disparity in some of the polls?
Getting a truly representative random sample is very difficult. That's some of the disparity. But my point is, to get a plus or minus 3%, you've got to go to about 1,000 people. And once again, it's just 1,000. Whether you're polling 150,000 people or 200 million, a sample size of 1,000 is going to give you, statistically speaking, plus or minus 3%, 95% confidence.
It would make a difference in whether they're polling people in San Francisco or Montana, though, wouldn't it?
If they're part of the overall larger sample, they'll just be part of the sample. But yes, sure, if you're polling in San Francisco, that's big enough so that in order to have a legitimate sample, you're going to be polling. You could say, for San Francisco, here's the results. But ultimately, if you did enough samples across the country and used the sophisticated things, you could put them together. But generally speaking, for the country as a whole, you can come up with, if you're assuming you had a really good methodology and how you chose who you're polling. But that's where it becomes very tough. In the past, everybody had a landline. And you could
would call people, yeah.
And you could use a random number generator and really truly get a statistical random number. But nowadays, landlines, who has landlines, who does not have landlines?
Not me.
Right. But, for example, if you only poll landline people, you distort. You're not getting a truly representative random sample,
okay,
of what they think.
We'll talk more about landlines and polls and real phones called cell phones when we return to the Bob Siegel Show.
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated about the ultimate issues of life. But Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net. When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Talking today with Mike Friedenberg, and I like to always say this about Mike. He was one of the very few people in the country who predicted that Donald Trump would win the presidency. He predicted it on this show just about a week or so before the election. And I wanted to ask you, Mike, obviously there was a problem with the polls back then, or am I getting ahead of you? Do you want to get into that later?
There was
a big problem then.
I believe there was a purposeful misreporting of the polling data that was available. And there was a laziness even on the part of conservative media to dig into some polling results that could have foreshadowed Trump winning.
And what were some of the things that you dug up to prove them wrong ahead of time?
One of the things was doing a comparison between Obama and
Obama and Romney,
and actually Obama and McCain. If you looked at those results, but let's look at Romney. If you looked at the results of Obama and Romney in places like Florida and some of the battleground states, you could see that Trump was outperforming. When you looked at the raw data, Trump was outperforming Romney in a lot of these key states. And you had to go in to actually pull the data out and look to where people were at a various time. So depending when you reported in the timeline how you reported it, you could distort that and create a misconception that somehow Trump was doing worse. But he was actually doing better. He was doing better in Pennsylvania. He was doing better in Florida. And Florida, for sure, Florida looked very solid for Trump prior to the election.
Weren't the exit polls themselves off that day, too?
Well, the exit polls were off as well. So going back to let me just say that it's very difficult to get accurate polling nowadays. Even if you have the best intentions, let's just say that how to get that representative sample, and there's a little bit of an art to it. You have to make assumptions. So if you have a bunch of people that are coming more from the left, even if they were trying to be objective, they're going to still maybe be a little bit biased on how they do that sampling size. Then once you get that sample and you've done the polling on it, now you've got to look at a turnout model. What group of people is actually going to bother to vote on Election Day or before Election Day, your absentee ballot? Now, you can use all the data. You can do sophisticated statistics and analysis, but it still comes down to a judgment call to a certain amount. It becomes a guesstimate. And once again, if you're sitting there and you're a left liberal person, you just cannot conceive of a voter turnout of liberals or leftists staying at home and not voting. You don't want to believe a voter turnout model that shows different. So you're going to sort of look for the reasons to justify a turnout model that's more favorable to what you want. And it's just very hard to do. So you're going to get that. So how you choose who you're going to poll, that introduces a potential error into your polling. The turnout model introduces potential error. But then another big thing, and this is a big – and that could all be by an honest bias that you can't overcome – but then you get to this what I call this cycle the Democrats have engaged in, the mainstream media. What it is, for example, let's look at Charlottesville, okay? The misreporting on Charlottesville was horrible. I mean, if you were to listen to the media, followed it, you would have thought there was two groups there. Well, really one group, the peaceful protesters that wanted to take down the statues and the Nazis, neo-Nazis and the white supremacists. The fact is that there was multiple groups there. There was the Antifa people, they're the Black Lives Matter people. They were all there to do violence. Then you had the neo-Nazis and the white supremacists there to do violence. Then there was probably people there, we didn't get to hear that they were interviewed, people there that just said, hey, listen, we understand everybody is flawed and has some background there, but we think Robert Lee had some admirable character we'd like to see him there. Then there was probably just general conservatives there who were sick of the left beating up on people without impunity. We're there ready to say, hey, if somebody throws a punch at me, I'm going to throw a punch at you. We didn't see any of that. What we just saw is the media characterizing over and over and over about Trump showed tolerance for white supremacists, Trump showed tolerance for neo-Nazis, in that pattern. Well, you get the media reporting that. Even Fox News didn't do a good job of differentiating on that, okay? They did not.
Fox News has had a lot of its own problems.
So then you have all the media creating this narrative, and then you do a poll. And lo and behold, the low-information voters in the middle, how did they respond? That Trump was showing tolerance for white supremacists. Trump was showing neo-Nazis. So you got this media creating a narrative. Then you do a poll, and you can end up with the results. You can guarantee what the results are going to be for the short term, which is going to be that Trump was viewed a certain way by the general public. You had, of course, the hardcore left that was going to say that anyway. Then you had the middle that was like going, yeah, gosh, I saw it in the media. Trump, didn't really condemn the Nazis and the white supremacists. And then you had the people like us that knew what was going on. But still, when you throw that middle into the equation, plus the hardcore left, the results came out to be very negative for Trump on that. Now, that's those results have changed a bit over a period of time as people have, you know, less swayed by it and less inflamed. But so the press does this push-pull. They create these sort of de facto push-pulls where they create the narrative they want, and then they pull it. And then once they pull it, they further affirm their narrative by reporting on the polling that they created the environment for. So that happens there. And I could give you an example here of a push-pull that was done on this whole business with the Russian collusion. And this poll was done by CBS, and it was a very quick poll. It was was done on December 3rd through 5th, 2017, having to do with the whole Russia investigation. Here's question 21. As you may know, there is an investigation into dealings between Trump associates and Russia. Do you think the investigation is justified, or is the investigation politically motivated? Okay, that's question one. How likely it is that you think that the Trump advisors had improper dealings with Russia before the Donald Trump was sworn in as president? See, this is heading in my mind toward
no
being
questions,
a...
No questions, of course, about Hillary's collusion.
Then there's
with
no
the
context to this, because the average person doesn't know that Obama, when he came into office, his administration officials prior to taking office were talking to all sorts of foreign countries at a much higher level. He had more people on board to talk to foreign countries than he did.
And they don't know that Hillary paid for some of this bad intelligence.
Well, yeah, and that's even putting that aside, the bottom line is what the Trump administration did was SOP, but because they didn't it was harder for them to staff up, they had less people talking to foreign countries than Obama did before he entered office. And then we get to question 23. Former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn pleaded guilty to lying to the FBI about contact with the Russian ambassador and will now cooperate with the special counsel. Is this now a serious matter for the Trump administration, or is it not a serious? So the whole thing
so
is—
saying, would you view Trump as more of a Nazi or a fascist? Would you compare him more to Hitler or Mussolini?
So what if we did a poll like this?
Hold on a second. We'll do your what-if poll when we return.
Okay.
You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
This is Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480-539. W&S Electric.
Looking for a church that will not only challenge you but help you to feel like a part of a family? Why not try Skyline Church, located in Rancho San Diego near 94 in Hamishaw? I can testify firsthand to Skyline because I myself am a member. When you visit, tell them Bob Siegel sent you and ask about that free week-long trip to Bermuda for first-time visitors. They'll look at you like they don't know what you're talking about, and you will not, in fact, get any free trip to Bermuda, but you'll still be glad for a chance to experience Skyline Church. You don't want to go to Bermuda anyway. Too hot. And people who approach that area have been known to disappear, but they don't disappear at Skyline. Those who visit usually can't wait to come back.
Skyline Church, Sunday morning services, 9 a.m. and 11 a.m.
Welcome Welcome back to 96.1 FM, 1170 AM, The Answer. I'm joined today again by Mike Friedenberg.
So what I was describing before was starts to verge to what's being called a push-pull. And basically, a push-pull, a lot of times the purpose for a push-pull is not necessarily to try to get an unbiased view of what the voters are thinking, potential voters are thinking, is to actually push out information that the polling organization wants you to know. So, for example, if somebody, one of those low-information voters, wasn't aware that Michael Flynn had been found guilty or was now cooperating with Mueller because he had to admit that he lied to the Mueller investigation, you now know it because the poller has told you that, right? So that's a push-pull.
Yeah, they're basically telling them what to think before they offer their opinion.
Right. So that, and obviously there's a lot of gray area in that area, but a lot of the stuff ended up being push-pulling. For example, what if they knew when they came, were you aware that prior to Mike Flynn agreeing to plead guilty to lying to the FBI investigators that all his money had been spent on legal fees and he was $3 million in debt and that the FBI was threatening to do the same thing to his son? Would that influence how you feel about the guilty verdict?
Yeah,
I mean, there's a whole lot of
context
that goes around this so that you can get the results you want there. And it's very interesting. Now, when you look at also another thing that is sort of at a higher level when you read polls is when you look at Real Clear Politics, probably you've looked at their averages, right? If you've looked at, you can go to the page and see the Trump favorability. So just a general high-level thing here. What does favorability mean? Does it mean that's how they're going to vote? Just conceptually speaking, does that mean that's vote? All it is saying, are you happy with Trump's performance right now? Well, I happen to know some sort of fringy conservative types like Coulters and other people like that. And I have some on my Facebook page that if you were to poll them, they would tell you they're unsatisfied with Trump's performance. Do you know why? Because he hasn't built the wall yet. Because
it's not like he hasn't been trying.
It's because he foolishly hired Rod Rosenstein and confirmed him, you know, because of the mistakes he's made, they're very dissatisfied with Trump. So that would come out as being an unfavorability, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So the favorability doesn't
mean they're not going to vote for him.
Exactly.
Because they're not going to, isn't going to vote for a Democrat.
That are really hardcore conservatives, and I don't think they're reasonable, that are attacking Trump right now, that when push comes to shove, they probably will vote for Trump over a Democrat, even though they think that Trump is not doing all he can. I don't agree with them. But so the favorability isn't it. The other thing, too, is when you look at RCP averages right now, a lot of those polls now are still doing either A, category A, which means all adults, or doing registered voters, or doing likely voters. So historically speaking, when you do an all adults poll, that's going to favor the liberal left Democrat worldview. These people. But a lot of those people that they poll on that level, some of them might not even be citizens, but the people they're polling, a lot of them are never going to vote. So it really is not that relevant. I mean, you want to know how the general country feels about it, but in terms of an election, it's certainly not predictive of how the elections go. Then you get to the next level, registered voters. Once again, just because you're registered to vote doesn't mean you're likely to vote. So registered voters, once again, has a tendency still to favor the Democrat, liberal. Only when you get to likely voter do you really start to get things more evening out. And then once again, you get back to the issue. Even if you're doing likely voters, you now have to go back to the problem of choosing truly randomly from likely voters a true cross-section of the country that's truly representative, which is difficult to do. So you get back to that again there. Okay, so that's something to keep in mind there. An interesting statistic, too, is I actually pulled all the polling data off of Real Clear Politics for the Romney versus Obama election. And then I pulled all the data off for Trump versus Clinton. And then I ran some regression analysis on it, multiple regression analysis. And I came out with what you call the standard deviation across the board and the correlations. But basically, just even looking at standard deviation and averages, what you found is for the Trump Clinton election, there was a much greater standard deviation of poll results across the entire election cycle than there was across the entire election cycle for Obama Romney, which just means that's the ones where you saw the crazy things where one day it was 17 points, Trump was down 17 points, the next day it showed him down 7, At the meantime, Rasmussen is continuing to show him down, you know, maybe down and up, kind of varying there. The USC LA Times poll was also showing some.
Rasmussen was one of the few that finally got it right toward the end, though.
Well, that's interesting once again, because in the end, the mainstream media polling in the end tightened up, and they came out showing the Hillary Clinton winning by 3 points, where Hillary Clinton only won by 3.2 points. Hillary Clinton only won by 2.1 points. Rasmussen still showed Trump having a slight edge. But I will still say, even though the final analysis, you could, if you just look at that final day before polling, the mainstream media, you could argue, looked more accurate than Rasmussen. But Rasmussen, all across the time, was not doing this crazy swings. Sure, when the Access Hollywood was in the news, you saw Trump's poll results and Rasmussen dropping down, right? But eventually they worked their way up. And Rasmussen does a little bit different. They do a polling average. Every day, they poll people every day, and they do, like, I think it's a four-day average. So the polling results for the today displace the polling results from the 4 days ago. And so that way, if something is a big event in people's minds for one day, it doesn't crazily throw the polling averages off.
I remember even Larry Sabato, he came on Fox News the day before. He was adamant that Trump was going to lose, and he was the crystal ball guy. He had that record accuracy.
So
to his credit, he ate some crow.
Well, he did, and it was interesting because he actually did a couple flip-flops. Initially, he was Trump's going to lose. Then he flipped over Trump's going to win. But then in the end, he said Trump's going to lose again, and he finally came out Trump's going to lose. So it was interesting. So the thing is, what was interesting is the variability, the wild swings in the polls. You didn't see that nearly as much with Romney, Obama. But what was also interesting is with all the wild swings that took place, the wild swings never swayed over to showing Trump ahead. They would always just show maybe if he's lucky plus, you know, only being down 2 points. Rarely, except for Rasmussen and the LA Times USC poll, which was a whole different methodology.
Okay. We'll be back for one more segment. Buying a home? Selling a home? It goes without saying that you need somebody experienced and skilled, but you also need a realtor you can trust, a man who will look out for your interests as if they were his own. This is Bob Siegel, here to steer you the right direction with just two words, Fred Valduti. Fred works with Realty Executives All Area, a company that has sold thousands of homes locally since 1994. Putting your home up for sale or selling a home can be stressful, filled with decisions you never anticipated. So put your mind at ease and call Fred Falduti. He sold my home for me at top price. Every step along the way, I benefited from his wisdom and a very generous usage of his time. By the way, Fred Falduti received the Executive of the Year Award for 2014. What? You say that was a couple of years ago? Listen, wise guy, do you want to mark the calendar or do you want somebody to sell your home for you? Whether buying or selling, the man you want is Fred Falduti with Realty Executives All Area, 619-719-7717. That's 619-719-7717 or fredfalduti.com.
The sequel to The Dangerous Christmas Ornament is called Inside the Castle in the Glass, and already this entertaining sequel is getting great reviews from customers on Amazon.com. Reviews such as this one. Very clever way of introducing certain life principles in a fictional setting. I thoroughly enjoyed the story. Here's another review. I picked up this book at a book signing with Bob Siegel on a Friday. By Monday morning before work, I finished it. This is over 500 pages of story. I couldn't put it down. I would plan to put it down at the end of the chapter, then something big would take place. I would have to continue to see what happened. A lot of unexpected twists and turns and a lot of things you can't imagine. Things that make you say, what? By the way, I am pushing 60 years old and I enjoyed this book and look forward to more of Bob's books. Keep them coming. Inside the Castle in the Glass, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Back to the Bob Siegel Show. One last segment with Mike Friedenberg.
So I guess we can just use this last few minutes here to kind of summarize some things. When we're looking at polls right now, for example, Trump versus Biden. Okay, a lot of people know who Biden is, but still, he hasn't had to face Donald Trump full force yet. He's got plenty of gaffes and things like that in his past, plenty of flip-flops on positions. I honestly think that he would do poorly against Trump, ultimately.
I don't think he's going to be the nominee.
And I don't think
he's going out soon.
But look at somebody like Kamala Harris. Okay, Kamala Harris. Now, you and I follow Kamala Harris. We know just how she is flip-flopping positions. We know where she stands and just how wacky liberal she is.
She's a contemptible liar, but she's very formidable in a debate, and she has a persona.
Well, she's an attractive woman, a black woman, attractive. So when you do these polls right now, that big segment of the low-information voters, they don't know all the stuff that you and I know about it. They don't know all the stuff that most of the people listening to the show know about her. So they just go, wow, yeah, she looks like she'd be pretty good. And, you know, she presents herself well. She doesn't foam at the mouth. She seems reasonable. So the polling right now is going to show probably about as good as it's going to get for Kamala Harris now in terms of positives. Once she starts to start defending her record, has to start defending her statements against the hundreds of millions of dollars that Donald Trump is going to have to come after her if she were to be the nominee, her negatives are going to go up. She's as good – her unfavorables are as good as they're going to get.
Yeah, I just realized he hasn't come up with a nickname for her yet.
Yes. Well, he's probably there'll
be something in the wings.
It will be interesting to see what she comes up with. He's got to be careful there. So that's one thing is just – take these polls right now with a grain of salt that show Trump versus these undefined, unknown candidates. We give much more credence to them, maybe, because we actually know them. But the average person, a lot of the people being polled, don't know them. So that's number one. And secondly is Trump has been individually performing really well for the groups of people that voted from last time. Law enforcement supported Trump last time. And why would that change this time around? Why, if you're in law enforcement and care about it, would you ever be voting for a Democrat? Right now, there's a poll just came out about a week ago that shows 57% of law enforcement plans on voting for Donald Trump, and only 28 or 30% say they will vote against him. That's significant. That was the veterans, military. He did even better among law enforcement, like something like 70. It was a crazy number. 70 law enforcement is going to be voting for Trump.
Yeah. If you're, Pete Buttigieg just ruined his reputation with police officers.
If you are somebody who believes in religious liberty issues, the abortion issue, the social justice issues from a conservative perspective.
Or just international security.
And international security. But that's a little bit more nuanced maybe for some people. Let's say you're a social conservative. Donald Trump has overperformed. Nobody has done more for the life issue than Donald Trump. So there's all these things are very positives. Now, as long as the economy holds up, on the other hand, there is this big segment of people in the middle who don't know these issues, who don't vote on the issues. They're going to vote probably their pocketbook. Probably that's going to be the number one issue for them.
If they vote pocketbook, then they're going to vote for
However,
Trump.
We don't know what the economy is going to be like.
Well, that's always the danger.
But it's a wild card.
During the McCain election, the economy took a nosedive about 1 month before the election.
Right. So. And now here's the other thing, too, is that even though the big mass in the center doesn't follow issues closely, the Democrats have gotten so wacky that even they know that the Democrats are talking about even borders. Even though some of them even know that the Democrats have been quiet about, you know, left-wing activists putting up a Mexican flag over ICE detention center. They even know that, gosh, the Democrats are supporting abortion through online months and even are allowing—
Even after nine months.
So some of this stuff is getting through. So the other thing beyond the economy is that maybe even if the economy wasn't as great as we'd like, perhaps we're given a little bit more wiggle room by with just how wacky and crazy Democrats have been. But I will say this, is Obama got reelected with all his craziness because he was so protected by the press. Even though he had a poor economy, he was still reelected. He won. He beat Romney by a bigger—
He's very insulated.
But the Democrats have just gotten so out there. I don't think that the media can cover up just how wacky the Democrats have become. So that plus the economy and the fact that Trump really does have a record, that some of these people will start to pay attention, and Trump can present a really solid record of accomplishment. So that's you know, all very solid stuff there. I mean, and like, people are sitting there watching the American flag being disrespected. They're seeing the team that they thought was going to represent them in the World Cup disrespect the United States.
That was disrespectful.
You know, they didn't just disrespect Donald Trump. There's a lot of people in this country, that maybe even people that didn't vote for Trump, that don't appreciate somebody over there.
They respect the office of the president.
The office of the president. They don't appreciate, you know, they don't appreciate them dropping the flag on the ground and stepping on it, whether it's by accident or not. If you do that, you apologize, right? That the fact that a woman on the national soccer team, women's national soccer team, did that, people don't appreciate that.
I hadn't heard about that. Did she actually step on her flag?
Yes.
I knew she knelt during the national anthem.
No, what happened is that after they won, there was a photo op. There was three young ladies there that had won, and she got very excited. She was jumping in there to be part of a picture with three people. So she threw the flag down on the ground just to get into the picture because she didn't want that flag soiling her picture. And when she did, she stepped on it after she threw it on the ground.
So her motive may not have been to stomp on it, but just to get it out of the way,
right?
Perhaps.
Yes, I don't think that she actually— – but the thing is, if you do that— – you apologize and say, oh, my heavens, I apologize.
It's like, if she doesn't love her country, then why is she out there representing the country?
So my point is, and then, you know, so they actually— was very interesting, is that they actually, the best left back considered in the United States was left off the team, and they theorized she was left off the team because she is a Christian and had come out against same-sex marriage.
Wow. All right, Mike, always great having you, always very informative. We will see you next week, everybody.
The Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.